So today we're continuing our series looking at engaging in prayer, and we're doing that through looking at what we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning at verse 9, this is Jesus teaching. He said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So we've looked at our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we talked about how God is both Father and holy, both intimate and beyond what we can imagine. If we saw him, we would be on our face if we even stayed alive. But he also says, "Come boldly before my throne of grace as his children." Then last week we looked at your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we said that's not calling Jesus to hurry up and come back. It's calling him to change our hearts so that we can be a part of, an ambassador for, the kingdom of God. So that others, when they see the way we're living, get a glimpse of God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And today we're looking at these simple words. Give us today our daily bread. This is the ask in our prayer. Give us today our daily bread. In the United States, the average person eats 53 pounds of bread a year. That's, you know, a little over a pound a week. In Turkey, they eat over 200 pounds a year. And which is down because they said in the year 2000, the Guinness Book of World Records says in Turkey, they ate 440 pounds of bread per person. If you've ever eaten garlic naan, you would know why. It is good stuff. Bread is a staple in the diet of many people around the world. And, you know, when you're hungry, it affects every other part of your life. Most of us have probably never actually faced starvation. But you know how it is when you get hangry. Anything ticks you off, it'll set you off. You know, because our bodies are saying they want something. And all those other things we're trying to think about won't come to us because we're focused on that hunger. Give us this day. Give us today our daily bread. Because when we know our basic needs are met, it gives us comfort and the ability to do other things. We got a taste, a small taste, of what it was to not have an abundance and maybe not have enough and maybe not even have what we need in the midst of COVID. I remember right after everything was busting loose with that, and I had to go to Salisbury for a meeting on logistics and all where I was working for a hospice. And I got there, and my parents lived in Salisbury, so I sent them a text. "Hey, you want me to go by the grocery store while I'm in town? I can bring it to you," because they were afraid to get out, and they, both of them in their 80s. And they said, "Yeah," and they sent me a list. And one thing on there, I remember, was bacon. And I said, "Hey, is there a particular brand of bacon that you like, or any kind, particular kind?" I got to the grocery store. Oh my goodness, there was one pack of bacon in the whole store. You know, when there's a scarcity, you're not so picky anymore. And what got me was, in the midst of COVID, people just hoarding things. Toilet paper. I mean, the shelves were empty of toilet paper. "Give us this day our daily roll," I mean, is what some people were praying, right? We had to have something. And I remember I went to the store for my parents another time. And I go in and toilet paper was on their list. And I looked and the only thing on there were those little packs of that store brand stuff that you can hold it up and you can see through it. That's all there was. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And people have their they've got rooms that they've just got this stuff stocked up in. Why would they, you know, if everybody just took what they needed, everybody would have plenty. And as I'm standing there thinking, Lord, I don't want to take my parents this toilet paper that won't do the job. And I happened to look up and I saw the edge of a pack of toilet paper up there. And I'm short. I had to get up on that first shelf and I reached up and grabbed it. And it was a mega pack of the good stuff, the heavy duty stuff. I said, thank you, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily needs. You know, for a lot of people in the world, it's not just empty store shelves during a pandemic. There's not food at all. They're truly praying, give me today the bread I need to stay alive. And once again, it's not because there's not enough food out there. There's enough food grown to feed everybody in the world. It's political problems, transportation problems, logistic problems. Some people hoarding and having way too much and others having nothing. Perhaps when we pray, Lord, give us, you hear that? Us, the plural, give us today our daily bread. We need to remember to pray for those who do not have. And perhaps God's calling us to be a part of the answer to that prayer, to help provide instead of hoarding what's for us, providing for those who don't have, whether it's in our community or around the world. When the Israelites left Egypt, they're wandering through the desert, and for 40 years, God provided for them their daily needs, and he gave them bread from heaven. In the morning, they got up and looked out, and there's a layer of dew, and as the dew lifted, there were flakes like frost on the ground, and they were white like corn or seeds, and tasted like wafers made with honey. The best I can picture this, when I read that, is you got up in the morning, you looked out, and there was frosted flakes all over the ground. And they fixed them different ways, but it was there every day. And when they saw it, at first they said, what is it? Which in Hebrew is manna. So they called it manna, but in English we'd say, what is it? What is it? Now each morning they were to gather only what they needed for that day. Give us this day our daily bread. In Exodus 16, 17, it says, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. And some Jewish scholars say what happened there is people didn't hoard it. Those who couldn't gather much, those who were invalids or were old or were young and couldn't gather, others would gather and give to them. Whether you gathered much or little, everybody had enough. Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be almost like God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then each morning, there was manna there, and God said, no, don't save any. It'll be there again tomorrow. You can trust me in this. Of course, they didn't. They hoarded some up, and saved it for the next day. And in the morning, they got up, and it was rotten and full of maggots. God said, you have to trust me for today. I wonder how long it took before they got up in the morning and looked out the tent flap, just wondering, will it be there again today? Can I trust him again today? And then God says, now, the day before the Sabbath, grab a double portion. You don't need to go out on the Sabbath. That's a day off. And you'll have enough and it won't go bad. Of course, some of them got up in the morning and they went out to gather manna anyway. And there wasn't any. God says, trust me for today. One day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, would you give me what I need for today? Do we, now be honest as you ask yourself this, do we trust God enough to give us what we need day by day by day, willing to share the excess without hoarding and without worrying that there won't be enough? In the 60s, you know, I tend to talk about hippies a lot. I noticed that when I was doing this. But, you know, they talked about bread or dough for money, right? Give me some bread. You got any bread? But it was because the hippies didn't want to be weighed down. You know, you don't want to be weighed down talking about what you're going to get in money and all. So just give me some bread. What they wanted to do with the money, buy some food, buy some bread. So give me some bread. And we still talk about someone is the breadwinner in the family. So in our common vernacular, we use bread and money interchangeably. As we pray, we're asking God to not only provide us food, but the other needs that we have for today. Not some distant future. Not give me this day what I need for my retirement, but give me today what I need for today, to survive today. Not an abundance in excess, but enough for right now. Now, I don't think God is saying that we shouldn't save for the future, because as you look at the whole of Scripture, he talks about it's prudent to save for the future, not only for yourself, but even for your children. But he doesn't want us to grab so much that we're not depending on him. So we're depending on what we've got instead of what he'll provide for us. One of the effects of war is that there's a large number of orphans that are left behind. After the Korean War, after the fighting was over in South Korea, there were a lot of orphans. And there was relief agencies went in, they were helping care for these orphans, but one of the people that worked at one of those relief agencies said at night, it was difficult for these children. They were full of anxiety. They couldn't sleep. They had three meals every day. They had plenty of food. They had everything they needed. But these kids, when it came time to go to bed, they were afraid that there wouldn't be any bread tomorrow. There wouldn't be any food tomorrow. So this one orphanage came up with a plan. Each night as the kids went to bed, they gave them one slice of bread. Not to eat, to hang on to remind them of the promise. There'll be bread for you tomorrow. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust him, and he says, you can trust me. Just as I provided for you yesterday, I will provide for you tomorrow. Give me this day my daily bread. Do I trust God enough to not let anxiety overtake me because I'm afraid I won't have enough for tomorrow? Do we take comfort in knowing that our Father in heaven cares about us and he provides for us? He wants us to come to him not just seeking riches, but seeking enough for today. Seeking him, knowing that he is good and he care for us. Jesus said in Matthew 7:9 and following, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? George Mueller lived in the 1800s. He opened multiple orphanages in England, and he wouldn't solicit anything from people. He just prayed about it. and people would bring him what he needed. He had finances to operate all these orphanages and food on the table for them. But one morning, at one of his orphanages where he was, all the plates and bowls and cups were on the table, but they were empty. There wasn't any food in the cupboard. There was no money to buy food. The children are standing behind their chairs, waiting for their morning meal. And Mueller said, "Children, you know we must be in time for school." And then lifting up his hands, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." And there was a knock at the door. And it was the local baker. He said, "Mr. Mueller, God woke me up in the middle of the night. And he laid on my heart that you didn't have bread. So I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've baked fresh bread for all of the kids here." He thanked the baker. As the baker went out, there was another knock at the door. It was milkman. He says, "My cart just broke down right in front of the orphanage." He says, "I've got these cans of milk, and I need to get them off the cart so I can get it fixed. I'd like to give all this milk to the orphanage for these kids. Give us this day our daily bread." Do we trust God that much? Because most of us don't have cabinets that are empty. Most of us have food available. But I think when Jesus says, "Pray this prayer," he's talking about a lot more than food, a lot more than bread. We're asking God to meet not just physical needs, but also we're asking him to meet our spiritual needs, our emotional needs, all the needs that are deep down in our heart. Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8:3 that God had humbled them. He said, "Because you were hungry and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus quoted this passage when Satan tempted him to turn stones into bread. Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. I think it's one of those verses that's way understated when it says, "And he was hungry." No kidding, after 40 days. And Jesus could have easily turned stones into bread or provided food for himself, but he would not fall for the temptations of Satan. He trusted in the words of his Father. Later, Jesus met with a Samaritan woman at a well in the middle of the day while his disciples ran off to Chick-fil-A to get some food. And he revealed to her that he was the Messiah. And as she ran off to tell everybody in town about who this Jesus was, this guy she had met at the well, the disciples came and they were trying to get him to eat something. And Jesus says, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples asked each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." See, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's way more than physical food. So we can pray this prayer here as well. And when I do my morning prayer walks, as I've shared, I pray that God would provide my daily needs. Oh, we've got food in our cabinets. We've got food in the freezer. I don't need bread per se, but I've got needs. Sometimes needs I don't even know I have. I need peace. I need contentment. Lord, help me to do your will. Lord, meet my deep down needs for you. Help me to live the life you've called me to live. Feed me spiritually to overflowing. And help me to meet the needs of others. See, I pray that God will help me to be the man that he created me to be. I pray that he will help me know how much is enough and when do I need to let things go and when do I need to hang on to things and what do I need to share and what do I need to hold on to. What do you want of me, Lord? And I pray that God would provide the needs for all of you and for our community. And one morning as I'm walking along praying, it was one of those mornings, I've got a headlight, you know, one of those goofy things, the Cyclops type deal, so I don't trip over things. And I'm walking along, and up ahead of me, it's pretty dark, and I said, would somebody drop a bunch of trash up there or something? And as I got closer, it was a guy laying on the sidewalk. His feet were on the road, and he was laying on the sidewalk, and he had a backpack on. And the sidewalk went right by his head, and I said, well, I don't want to startle this guy. I don't know what my... I kind of walked out in the road and went around, and I kind of looked. I said, good morning. And he looked up, friendliest guy. We got talking. His name's John. Now, John was right over near where the U-Haul is. He keeps his stuff in a storage unit there. And each morning, once they open up, I think it's 7 o'clock they open, he goes in there and he trades out his stuff for the day, puts on his back what he needs for that day, and goes about his business out on the streets. He goes to Planet Fitness. $10 a month, you can get a shower every day. I've run across him in there. He does a little cardio work, and then he goes and he gets his shower. And he told me, he says, oh, yeah, I know the place where I can get something to eat. And just in conversation with him, and then when we get a night like last night, I'm thinking, Lord, give John today his daily bread. Give John somewhere dry to sleep today. And I asked him one time, I said, so what do you do when it rains like this, when it's crazy out there? And all he says, you know, I've made the decision. This is how I want to live. He says, it's not too bad. I've got my places where I can go. I think part of when we're praying, give us this day our daily bread. Part of that prayer is for the people in our community. And you know, meeting John made it personal for me to pray for John and the others who are homeless in our community. I think a big part of this prayer, a part I have to wrestle with, is what do I do with the excess? And how much do I need for my future? How much am I supposed to give away? And how much am I supposed to keep? Give us this day our daily bread. What's Jesus calling me to do to help feed others? I think we have to spend time in prayer and asking God, how do you want to use me to help the Johns and the others that are out there? Do I trust in the stuff I've got, or am I trusting my Heavenly Father? In John's Gospel, Jesus fed 5,000 men, plus you had women and children there, so you can figure there's 12, 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish and 12 basketfuls of leftovers to take home. Everyone had enough to eat. So everyone, or a bunch of these people, began to follow Jesus around. Not because they cared about Jesus or his teachings, but because they knew what he could do for them. They liked free bread. In John 6:26, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Basically, people are coming along saying, Jesus, what can you do for us? What can you give us? Moses gave us bread from heaven. What do you got? Jesus says, I gave you bread, but you're not looking to the hand that feeds you, or you're looking for what I gave you instead of the hand that feeds you. See, in our prayers, are we looking for what God can give us? Or are we looking for God? Is it the bread in his hand, or is it the hand? Give us this day our daily bread. Remember who we're praying to. Our Father who's in heaven. Jesus continued in John 6:32. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then a few verses later, in verse 48 of chapter 6, he says again, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we can pray, "Jesus, give me all of you. Give me all of you that I can handle." He is our basic need, even more importantly than all of our physical needs. It is in and through him that we have eternal life. It's in him that we have a full and fulfilled life. It's in him that our basic needs are met. It's in him that we accomplish great things for the world and the kingdom of God. Physical needs, bread is just an outward indicator of what Jesus wants to do in us. He wants to provide those deep-seated needs of our heart as well as the physical needs of our body. In John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're praying, asking Jesus to allow his life to flow through us, to give us life. Apart from him, there is no life. But when he flows through us, we produce much fruit for his kingdom. Praying, "Give us this day our daily bread," is a reminder that each of us, like those who wandered through the wilderness, need God's provision day by day by day. Our lives are not self-generated and not self-sustaining. Our lives, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and every other aspect of it, is what we receive from the giver and should be received and recognized as a gift from God. Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." See, Jesus doesn't want to just be part of our lives. He wants to be Lord of our lives. But for him to become Lord, we've got to submit to him. That's what it means. We have to let go of our self-centeredness. We have to allow him to call the shots. Let go of trying to lead our own lives our own way with our own rules and follow Jesus as he leads, wherever he leads. And it all begins when we turn from our sin and turn to Jesus. We call that repentance. It's a change of mind. We recognize that Jesus is fully, completely, fully God and fully, completely man. God and man completely. And that he came and lived and died and rose again from the dead to give us life, full and fulfilled. And we can only get that through him, the bread of life. Following Jesus, turning from our sin and following him, is what we call salvation. We're saved from eternity away from God. We're saved from hell. And we are given eternal life with Christ. Baptism, and we're going to do here in a few minutes, is a way for us to publicly proclaim what Jesus has done in our hearts. And just as we pray, give us, plural, this day our daily bread. And the rest of the Lord's Prayer, it's all plural. It's inclusive. It's the body of Christ together. Baptism is baptism into Christ, but it's also baptism into his body, the church. Baptism is a declaration by the candidate that they have died to themselves and they have been washed clean through the blood of Christ and they're living a new life in Christ. But it's also the church, all of us together, the body of Christ, saying, you are one of us. We're together in this. We support one another. We look out for one another. It's the church saying, we'll come alongside you and we will help you grow in Christ-likeness as we hold each other accountable, as we share the gifts God has given us for the building up of the body of Christ. So in a few minutes, we're going to participate together in baptism. The kids are going to come up and they're going to join us because, see, I think baptism is something we do as the family. It's not something you sneak off somewhere and do by yourself. We come together and we affirm one another and we say yes, and it's celebration. So as we do this baptism this morning, I want them to hear a few houses down. I want us to make it a celebration, and those being baptized, I want you to hear your family cheering for you, because, man, I was there for four boys being born. It's pretty cool. That's what this is. It's spiritual birth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you provide for us. Give us this day, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, feed those who are hungry. Use us where you want to use us. Lord, feed those who are spiritually hungry. Give us each day, Lord, of yourself. Fill us. Fill us, Lord, to satisfaction. Give us all we need of you. And then flow through us to share what you have given us with others. The physical things, the spiritual things, whatever we have, Lord, help us to be able to freely share what you have given us, so that we are a part of the answer to the prayer of give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, we pray now, and we're going to pray again, but we pray for those who are being baptized. We pray for those who are going to come up and say, hey, I just want to remember and affirm what happened at my baptism. We just pray for each one of these, that your Spirit would just come and affirm them and remind them that they are your children. Lord, remind each of us of our baptism and that we were born anew. And we were born into the kingdom of God. And that you have work for us out here as ambassadors for your kingdom, just living it out. Help us to do that, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.